How's everybody doing today?
Was that the best worship ever? I'm telling you. And when Pam said there were special speakers, I'm not sure who she meant. I was really confused. I thought, oh, I think they asked us to speak. But oh, thank you. Well, anyway, Pastor Andy asked me to ask Julie and I to speak. And our assignment was basically, if we had one day left to live, what would we want to leave behind? What would we want to share with you? And so I got so much I want to share. I'm going to have to really talk fast because we've only got till about 3 o'clock. You told me to try to get out of here. We're going to, so if you can just listen fast, take notes, and then we'll review this all later. Now, luckily, I don't have that much.
No. Are you kidding?
I remember Joel Osteen says that his dad used to tell him, "Hey, Joel, come over here and sit down. Tell me everything you know. It'll only take a minute." So that's the approach I'm using today.
Believe me, that's not true.
Oh.
For him.
What I thought we were going to do, what we would do is, I'm going to just lay a little bit of a foundation, and then Julie and I are going to talk about a few things that we feel like God has shown us. But I want to start with just some things that I have had a hard time getting my faith around or my head around or to understanding. So I'm going to start at the very beginning. In Genesis 1, it says in the beginning that God creates the heavens and the earth. He created the physical world, and he created the spiritual world. When Adam and Eve were in the garden, they had everything they would ever need. God provided them absolutely everything. There was nothing that was, they were going to till the garden and they were going to take care of things, but he gave them dominion and he gave them everything they would need. And I want to just kind of keep that in mind because soon thereafter, about one chapter after God gives them dominion and authority over the physical world, Satan tricks them out of it. And, I guess one thing, I'm getting a little ahead of myself. One thing also that God gave them was free will. So, and that's the situation that we're in. We're not in the garden situation necessarily. They left that by giving in to Satan and being deceived, which is really his main means of operation. That's what he does to us. That's what he does to the whole world, is deceive us. That's really his only power. And along those lines, something else, we look at life, we look at sin, and we kind of categorize things, and some sins are worse than others, and some society accepts completely. But really, Satan's sin was pride, jealousy. Basically, what he got mankind to do was think incorrectly. And that's what we're doing now. I mean, that's our battle, is to get our thinking from where the world has taken us back to the thinking the way that God wants us to think.
Amen.
And I guess I want to say that all sin, I believe, I kind of had the idea that pride was the only sin, that everything we define as sin after that is really just a symptom of our wrong thinking or our pride, our saying, hey, I can be my own God. I can be my own provider. I can make my own decisions. So our thinking became worldly, and our goal is to get it changed back to thinking the way that God thinks. Which is going to also, once we're thinking the way God thinks, you're going to see a noticeable change in our actions also. Because our actions are all based on what we're thinking,
which
is incorrect. With that basic foundation that we had everything we needed, we got the Adam and Eve syndrome. What I say they did is they bet everything they ever had or needed on one desire. And you just see that in the world all over the place, people doing just exactly that. We take everything we have, slide it over, and bet it against one momentary pleasure and lose it all, which is basically what happened to them. But anyway, with that said, Jesus was born into the world to regain our lost dominion and provision. That was his whole mission, is to come and get us back into the state that we were in the garden, where everything was provided for us. Not that we're not going to do anything. We're going to till the ground, and we've got work to do too. There's a point that we are participating with him, but he has provided it all. He's made it all possible. One of the things that as you think about Jesus, as you look at his life, as you look at what he's doing in the New Testament, and this gets back to our wrong thinking. If you look at Jesus and you say, you know, when he heals the sick or when he feeds the hungry or whatever he does, if you're looking at that and thinking, wow, well, he's God, you're right. He is God. But everything he does in the New Testament is an example. He has set his godhood aside. He is operating as a man filled with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So when we look at him, if we're thinking, well, yeah, he can do that, he's God, but I could never do that, we're getting it all wrong. We need to be looking at him in the New Testament as an example of what a man filled with the Holy Spirit can do.
Amen.
And I want to get back to one thing I'd mentioned earlier about free will. It's a term that's never, I don't think it's ever used in the Bible, but there's examples of where you can see that we absolutely positively have free will. One of them that came to mind in Genesis 1 with me was that God has Adam go name the animals. But the most important one, I think, is in Revelation 3:20, where Jesus says, I'm standing at the door and knocking. It's up to us to open the door to let him in. He's not knocking the door down. Well, with that foundation laid, that we had everything we needed, we lost it all, and that Jesus' mission was to come back and get it all back for us, we want to move on and talk about how we operate in the world now. We've got a few different topics we want to hit with those things in mind. Okay, the first thing I want to talk about is something we hear a ton about in church, and that is God's grace. And we're going to talk a little bit about grace. We're going to talk a little bit about faith. Some people are really opposed to the grace message, and it's basically because they've gone so far over to one side on this that it's basically a license to steal, license to sin, I should say. Steal, whatever you want to do, whatever your sin happens to be. But I want to get you to think about God's grace from the standpoint of just how much he loves us and how much he has done for us, and how everything in creation is for our benefit.
Amen.
And I guess along those lines, all of the love that we have in the world is basically conditional. It's all based on, I'm going to love you if. And then the list goes on and on and on. For us to understand God's love, it is completely based on the fact that he is, well, it's based on the fact of what Jesus has done, but it's he's not loving us because we're lovable. He's loving us because he is love.
Amen.
It's not based on our performance.
That's right.
And I think religion has taken us to our performance is what God's love for us is based on. So when we sin, now he doesn't love us anymore. Not the case at all.
Amen.
Really, our performance is more a reflection of our love for God. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey me. But when we do sin, and we're going to, God's love for us does not change at all. Every single thing that God has for us is through grace. It's given freely. There's nothing he has, whether it's provision, protection, salvation, healing, whatever the topic, we cannot possibly deserve any of it.
That's right.
It's all based on what Jesus has done for us on the cross. There's no way we're going to earn it. All we can do is just reach out and accept it as a free gift.
Amen.
The Bible does talk about what we can earn. In Romans 6:23, it says, the wages of sin is death. That's what we can earn. We have the capability to earn death. But anything that has to do with life is strictly given to us freely. All we can do is reach out and accept it. And if we don't understand that, we're going to spend a lot of time trying to talk God into what he's already done for us.
That's right.
So, which is another place where I can see in my life where I've just been misled, I've not understood, and I've not gotten, and nobody has. We have not received everything that God has for us. Nobody ever has. But what we can't do is talk God out of it or get the prayer chain, you know, to badger him until he finally gives it up. Or
700 people praying.
You know, everybody on Facebook to pray for it and badger God until he finally gives it up. It's not going to work like that at all.
That's right.
It's all, he wants us blessed, healed, provided for, protected, saved.
Amen.
More than we could ever possibly want that for ourselves.
That's right.
Or for our loved ones.
It comes down to believing him.
Amen.
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 Well, I wanted to talk a little bit, too, about being thankful and how important that is. You know, when you're thankful and you acknowledge God when things go well in your life, to me, that's a huge part of having a close relationship with the Lord, is when you understand that he is, anything good in your life comes from him. So when I have things happen around me, and I'm just like, wow, God, only you could have worked that out. I mean, it seems like acknowledging him and knowing that he is the one that did it, you know, that just puts you in a place where he can bless you. When you acknowledge him, he will bless you in so many ways. And he, like it says in the Word of God, he'll make your path straight. So, you know, another thing about being thankful, it seems like, and I know I probably shared this with everyone in here because I'm always saying this, but the truth is, a lot of times when we're struggling in our lives, there are a million things that are going right. And for some reason, the enemy tries to get us to focus, or we have a tendency to focus on what's going wrong. And, you know, I'm kind of sad in the mainstream believers in churches, not necessarily ours, because I think ours is a faith and grace church. We believe what God says, but we have a people have a tendency to find their identity in what's wrong with them. They want to share with you all the things that, you know, I've got this and I've got a bad this and I've got that. Well, you know, until you start speaking what you want. In fact, yesterday we had somebody stop by our house. And she was just telling me, I am blowing up. I am just blowing up. I keep gaining weight. I keep gaining weight. I said, first of all, don't ever say that again. You know, I mean, the truth is you cannot say what you have. You absolutely need to be doing what God says to do. And that's call things that are not as though they were. And you speak to those things and you say, I told her, I said, you need to be saying to your body, my metabolism is lightning fast. And my body is getting, you know, I eat healthy and I make good choices and my body is getting the way it needs, what God intended it to be. So, I do think that that is something that we really have a tendency to, let the enemy steal from us in that way, because God has already given us everything we need to do everything he's called us to do. I mean, we have all the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. So, you know, if you need self-control in your eating, he's given you what you need. It's a matter of believing it. And you know how important that is. Believe and you will receive. Anyway, did I take that? Are you still going? Amen. That would preach, wouldn't it? Okay. Anyway, and we were definitely going to be talking about the power of your words next. Do you have something you want to share about thankfulness?
Well, I'll tell you, no, after this worship today, I mean, I just feel like one of the ways, I mean, there's a lot of I could say about thankfulness, but one of them, I mean, I just think praise is just going to be a natural outflow. And if we're looking at God correctly,
amen,
and we are going to be thankful, and praise is just going to flow out.
Absolutely.
But one other thing on thankfulness, to me, if the world has a way of looking at things, or we as we get into wrong thinking, I don't want to keep pointing to the world because we're all doing this. There's a tendency to think that I'm doing pretty good being my own God. I'm getting by all right here. Whereas the reality of the situation is God didn't have to create the world. He didn't have to create us. He didn't have to give us life. And our next breath is dependent on him.
Right.
It doesn't matter what you have or what you know or anything about your situation. We are completely dependent on God, but most of the time we wander around not realizing that.
Mm-hmm.
And not realizing that is going to cause us to be unthankful. We're not going to make a great God for ourselves, but that's what we're trying to do most of the time.
Amen. And the key is we want to think what God thinks. And the only way we can do that is if we know him. So it is a matter of being in his word and studying his word and getting to know him better. That's how you think like him, knowing what he says about things. You know, you can catch yourself thinking wrong and you go, no, I will not do that. You know, I mean, I think fear is, of course, one of the hardest things to overcome sometimes when someone calls you with a bad report or tells you something that's going on and you just go, no, I refuse to believe that. God's word says that I am whole and complete. I am under the shalom blessing. I have nothing missing, nothing broken. You know, if someone gives you a bad report about your health or your finances, you just have to come up against it and know that God's word trumps everything else. It doesn't matter what a doctor says. You know, a doctor's only practicing. We have the great physician, amen? And he is the healer, and he's already healed us when he died on the cross. So,
yeah, I mean, I think this is the key to the whole situation is changing our thinking to where we're thinking the way God is thinking. I think there's a tendency to look at things from the standpoint, let's say with healing, where, well maybe God wants me healed. Oh, man, there is no question. You're not trying to talk him out of anything here.
That's right.
This is something he's gone way, way out of his way to do. And then, well, can he? I mean, this is pretty complex. Is this something he could heal, can't heal, might heal? He created us. To fix something you've already made is a minor thing compared to making it in the first place.
That's right.
And if you're a believer, you have Jesus living. You have the same power that raised Jesus from the dead living inside of you. So nothing is too difficult. We can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Jesus said that without me, you can do nothing.
That's right.
And he was serious. I mean, this wasn't, he wasn't mincing words here. But Matthew 19:26 says that with God, it actually starts with man, this would be impossible. But with God, all things are possible. There is nothing beyond his capability.
Amen.
There's nothing that he cannot do.
Amen. That is right.
One of the things we do is limit God by the way we're thinking.
Yes.
He's going to do amazingly more than we could ask or think. But we do need to start thinking bigger.
Yes. Yes.
Give him room to work.
Amen.
Because I think as we wander through life, we notice things from time to time that we're just like, oh my gosh, that had to be God. Nobody, we had a situation that happened this summer to us. It had to do with a home that my parents had, and we were supposed to sell it, and it just one thing after another was stacking up against it, and God worked it out in a miraculous way.
Supernatural.
And it was one of those situations where you could think, well, if this happened, that'd be miraculous. If that happened, it would be miraculous. But it was just a sequence of miraculous.
It was so awesome.
And I don't want to take credit saying, I mean, it was interesting to me because I know nothing about real estate. And all I was really doing was cleaning junk out of the house when the whole thing happened. But it was one of those deals where you could look and just say, this couldn't possibly have been me. That's happening everywhere in our lives, and we're not giving
Amen.
God the glory. You know, when you're walking out of the house and he reminds you to pick up your keys or whatever it happens to be, acknowledging him in all our ways is a huge part of getting our thinking changed to where we realize he has his hands in every aspect of our life. If we get a good idea, it came from him.
That's right.
Whereas we have a tendency to pat ourselves on the back and think, boy, aren't I sharp. If you think that, you're not.
So caught up in what you're saying.
Oh, I'm sorry.
What I was say.
Well, let me tell you one other thing then about provision. And I think this holds true in a lot of different areas. But God provided everything we're ever going to need. But our provision is hidden. It's not in a sack. It's not a bag full of gold sitting on the sidewalk that everybody so far has walked by and missed. It's hidden. And he wants us to seek it out. He wants us to go find what he has for us. And if you think about it, in the Old Testament, when they went into the promised land, God told them, you can have everywhere you place your foot. So I'm giving you this land, but you have to actually go out and walk around in it. You've got to take it. And some of the battles were just exactly that. They walked around and boom, they took the city. But they did have to go out. Our promised land is right in
Hallelujah.
Here. This, we've got promise after promise after promise in here, but if we don't get in there and we don't find out what they are and we don't understand them, we're going to miss it because it's hidden from us. It's hidden from the world, but it's hidden. It's not hidden from us. It's hidden for us.
Amen. And I'm so thankful to have Blessed Life Fellowship and Pastor Andy, who teaches us the Word. And, you know, that's the way that we can find it. He teaches us how to find what God has called us to do. And, you know, the truth is, with the situation with the house, it was just so interesting to watch Mark be led by the Spirit. And, you know, that is key. We have to listen to the Spirit. I mean, I don't even think he thought about it, but I think God told him, go to that home and start working on it, get a dumpster delivered. And he did that. And the people that were interested, ended up being interested, were just driving past and started talking to him. And he was able to, you know, sell it to one of those people. And God even worked it out to where, you know, he could talk to one and then another one came by. And so they knew that they were both interested, which makes the price drive up a little bit, which was supernatural in itself. But you know what? Here's the deal. God is no respecter of persons, and you are next. You are next. And that's what's so awesome about our God. He wants to bless us more than we could ever think or imagine. He has so many good things in store for us. And a lot of times our simple thinking gets in the way and we think, oh, you know, I mean, I think a lot of times you can be having a rough day and you just have to go, oh, God's got something good for me. Instead of going, everything is going wrong today. You have to go, nope, I refuse to get in this place. I know God's going to bless me today, and I can hardly wait to see how. And it's a constant course correction going, no, I will not let my mind go there. I will not let myself get discouraged because, you know, whatever. I mean, sometimes we can let the littlest things bother us, can't we? I mean, you spill your water, and you're just going, ugh, and then you drop something or whatever. And it just seems like all these little things, and you're just going, gosh, nothing's going right today. But do we want to say that ever? No. I want to say, my past's getting brighter and brighter. It's not feeling brighter right now. And I thank you, Lord, it's getting ready to start showing up, all the brightness in every area of my life. Amen? Amen. The truth is, and the enemy's favorite thing to do to us is, Keith Moore, I think, is the one that calls it the pile-up technique. But, you know, the enemy does have a tendency. He'll put one, then two, then three, then four, then five, six, seven, eight things on you that just seem overwhelming. And, you know, that's what I mean by focusing on the million things that are going right. Because, you know, I don't know anybody's circumstances, but I know in my own life, I can start thinking, okay, well, I have a husband. I have a beautiful home. I'm blessed. God has given me breath. I have wonderful friends and a church family that loves me. You know, I mean, I think it's important to just start listing off all the good things you have, clothes to wear, food to eat. You know, you have everything you need to do everything God's called you to do. And I think that's what makes us set apart. That's what makes us different from people, is we don't let all those things in the world. I mean, I'm not saying that you don't have a bad day. I'm just saying that you immediately go to the place where God's going to work this out. If you go to that place, it's again that the words that God said, believe and you will receive. So if you believe God's going to take care of it, he's going to. If you don't, well, you know, it's not going to work out. I can tell you, because the enemy is trying to steal, kill, and destroy your life. That's his goal. And the truth is, God wants to give us life and give it more abundantly. And when he can do that, when we believe that he's going to do it, that's what it boils down to. It's all about believing. Amen. Thinking correctly and believing what God says, knowing that the enemy doesn't really have any place in your life. You resist him, and what does he do? He flees. Hallelujah. One of my favorite things about the Word of God, or just about our God in general, is he is so awesome. He included us in our lives. He gave us a part. We get to say what we want. And our words are so powerful, we get to speak out our future. He gave us that part. We get to say, my life's getting better. God's working this out. I believe God's going to work this out better than I could. You know, when there's an issue, you can speak that out. And you know what? That is the most awesome thing. He gave us a part in our future. So if your life's not looking how you want it, what did you say yesterday? What did you say the day before? Were you talking about everything that's not going your way? Or were you talking about how good our God is and how he's going to get you out of this? He's going to make your life better and better, brighter and brighter. Amen?
Okay, I'm still in my life. Amen. Well, that's it. I don't have anything else left. So, now I guess we're on the topic of faith then, if we're saying what God says.
Amen.
And
let's do it.
Okay. Faith is our part. Grace is God's part of the picture. He's going to provide everything. Faith is our part of it.
Amen.
We're going to believe what he says. We're going to accept what he has done for us, and we're going to receive.
Amen.
And it's interesting. I heard a guy that was talking about salt. Salt is made up of, and I hope I got this right, it's made up of sodium and chloride. And he was equating this to grace and faith. He said, too much sodium will kill you. Too much chloride will kill you. Without salt, you can't live. So you get one or the other, you're in bad shape. But if you don't have both, you die.
So isn't that amazing? It's a perfect analogy.
It is. Yeah. You know, one of the things in life that, or in God's word or in life in general, is that every road has a ditch on both sides. God's way is going to be right down the middle. We can get off on the ditch on this side, and then we can overcorrect and be off on the ditch on this side. So there's normally two ways to get it wrong.
We want to be right in the middle. We're looking for balance. Balance is key in serving God. I mean, you can definitely, you know, I mean, you can see churches that go a little bit too far over one direction or another. And the truth is, it is definitely being in the Word and knowing what God says and believing it, and not allowing, you know, I was trying to think of some examples of an imbalanced situation.
Well, one of them would be if you take grace and you go so far with it that God just loves us, he loves us, he loves us, you know, it doesn't matter what we do. Well, you can just get into a life of sin because it doesn't make any difference at all. God's going to love you no matter what. And it's true, he is. But sin is going to kill you. Another way we can do it is where you can take faith to the point where you end up in legalism, where you've just got a set of rules, and the reason everything's not going the way you want it is because you've messed something up. It's all your fault, and you know God can't fix it. And it's a balance. It's down the middle. We do need to have faith. We do need to speak what God says. We need to know him well enough that we know what he thinks on any given topic. And we need to be saying what he says about it. But we also need to be believing we're not earning that. We're not getting it because we've got power. We're getting it because of his power and what he's done on the cross for us.
Mm-hmm. And you know, another thing that God has really shown us is that there is an opportunity to have miracles in your life. But the truth is, a miracle is kind of like living from crisis to crisis. You know, you run out of money, you got to have a miracle. God's got to provide. But the truth is, what we want to be doing is walking in the blessing. So when you're in the Word and you're believing what God says and you're doing what he's called you to do and you're constantly seeking him out and you're saying, Lord, what should we do in this situation? Always going to him and speaking with him. He's going to guide you and lead you in the blessing so that when you need a car, he's provided the money already. Someone doesn't have to give you a car. God has already provided everything we need. So when you're in the blessing, that's where you want to be. Amen. That's where we want to be. And that's what I feel like God has really been directing us to make sure we're in the Word and in the blessing.
Amen. There is a tendency to look at our lives and think, wow, you know, a miracle happened in this person's life. How come a miracle didn't happen in mine? And I can remember Andrew Womack talking about how he used to just live from miracle to miracle, but he said his life was always in a crisis. And one time it stopped and thought, man, I haven't seen anything like that in like 10 years. But the reason is because he's moved into the blessing. He's not going from crisis to crisis. His car isn't out of gas all the time. You know, he has enough money to buy food. You know, he's not living in a situation where God has to come through with a miracle or he's going to die.
Amen.
which is, it's a good place to be. Amen. Amen. I can't get up here and talk at all without saying one thing that, you know, we're talking about miracles, we're talking about blessings and all these different things. One thing we do is we get confused as to, you know, like I'm in this situation, well, God put this on me, or, you know, God did this to me, or God did that. Jesus drew a line in John chapter 10, verse 10, where he said, "The enemy came to kill, steal, and destroy. I came to give life and give it more abundantly." If you see killing, stealing, destroying going on, it's the enemy.
That's right.
If you see life, it's Jesus.
Amen.
A lot of times we give the enemy, or we give God credit for what the enemy's doing, I guess
right.
I should say.
That's right.
We act like everything that has happened is God's will. When he gave us free will, there was a lot of room in there for the world, in the flesh, other people's decisions, all different kinds of things can come into our lives that are not a happy thing.
That's right.
But it was not because God brought it in. It was either because of sin in our lives. It was because we're saying the wrong thing. It was sin in somebody else's life, somebody else's wrong decisions, our wrong thinking. Somewhere along the line, something got out of God's will and into the enemy's territory. So that, I think that's a key thing for us to keep in mind as we're looking at all this. All right. This is a big one.
Oh,
well, as we're wandering along through life and we're trying to think the way God thinks, one of the ways the enemy will come along and try to mess us up is through unforgiveness. This one's a huge one. Jesus talked about this in Mark 11 when he's talking about faith, and he was basically talking like this is one of the things that can stop things dead in its tracks.
Mm-hmm.
Forgiveness is critical. It is often confused with trust. If somebody does something to us and we forgive them, that does not mean that we trust them to do the same thing again.
Right.
There is a difference there. But one of the things to me that makes forgiveness easy is when we look at the sin in our own lives. We know a lot of what we've done wrong. A lot of it we've happily forgotten. And a lot of it we've done and not even realized how off track we were. But when we look at somebody else and what they've done, we're seeing just a fraction compared to what we've done and what we know about in our own lives. And what God has forgiven us for, we ought to be able to look at other people and just let it go. We're thinking wrong. They're thinking wrong. It is what it is. But us holding on to it is the worst possible thing we could
Absolutely.
Do.
It's, you know, I'm sure you guys have heard this, but it's like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. I mean, you absolutely have to forgive and just move on. I mean, the truth is you don't, like Mark said, you don't have to trust them, but you absolutely have to forgive and know that God is going to work it out. I mean, I know some people that are really battling something right now, and she has said to me more than once, "I can't forgive this. I just can't forgive it." And I said, "Well, you're hurting yourself." But the truth is, when we forgive, it gives God the opportunity to do vengeance on them. And wouldn't you rather let our God take care of that? If you try to do it yourself or hold a grudge or do something to hurt them, you know, then God gets out of the way. If you are in the way, he won't take care of it. But if we get out of the way, our God will take care of it. And that's that. There's nothing that's going to be more powerful than that. Amen.
Amen. And something else that goes right along with forgiveness is judgment. A very easy thing for us to look at other people. And it seems like the common thought is, "I would never do that."
Mm-hmm.
Man, it is like Gilligan saying, "I'm never going to wear a dress." Boom, the next scene, he's wearing one. I mean, what we judge other people for, we are going to end up doing almost instantly. I have seen this time after time after time. If you just watch, you'll see it in your own life and you'll see it in other people's lives. It's all wrong thinking. We're thinking wrong. They're thinking wrong. We ought to be looking at people and thinking it's a wonder their life's in good a shape as it is, you know, if they're thinking as badly as I'm thinking.
And, you know, really to live in the blessing, you have to forgive as God has forgiven you. That's what it says in the Lord's Prayer. And I think that is so powerful. So for forgiveness and judging, I mean, looking at people, the truth is we ought to be looking for the best in people. We can't, if we look at what's wrong, I mean, I hope nobody's looking at what's wrong with me. They're going to find it. There's something, believe me, that they'll be able to point out. But the truth is we need to be walking in love and looking for what's right and not what's wrong. And so, anyway, it makes me think of our funny story, but I guess I shouldn't tell it. The one about I'm positive.
Oh.
There was one time I'm going to tell it anyway, just for the fun of it. There was a time where we were driving down the road, and I was really feeling impressed to start making sure we don't judge people around us in front of Joseph. And anyway, so we were driving, and the person in front of us was doing some things that Mark didn't like. And he goes, "That person in front of us is an idiot." And I go, "Could you say something positive, please?" He goes, "I'm positive that person in front of us is an idiot." I'm like, "Okay, that's not quite what I meant." But anyway, you know, just being thankful and knowing that, but by the grace of God, that would be you, knowing that God... Anyway, he has gotten a lot better. He does not do that anymore at all. But it was a funny moment in our car.
Well, one of my bad tendencies has been to try to train Joseph by pointing out to him in other people's lives, look, well, one of my theories is that kids are not old enough to have seen the ramifications of sin in people's lives. So they're going to do things because they don't know. But you could point out, hey, this person's, you know, when you're 60 years old, you can see a lot of problems that have developed. I mean, I've got friends that are dead because of their actions. It's when you're, you know, 19, you don't have that. You haven't seen the results of the actions. But just like our teenage kids that we'd like to shake and say, "Wake up!" That's what God wants to do with us. Shake us and get us to wake up. Oh.
That's right.
Well, the next thing we're going to talk about is love.
Mm-hmm.
And Julie's got a famous saying on this.
Well, I do. Love is a beautiful thing. No, I'm just kidding. You know, as you all know, love is a choice, not a feeling. And really, to do the right thing is a choice. You know, and I think a lot of times we let our feelings get in the way. But in marriage and in life and friendships, we have to choose to love. You're not always going to have that infatuation feeling like you did the first time you met somebody. So it's a matter of choosing to love them where they are and who they are. And I know they're not perfect. You know, nobody's perfect. So it is a matter of choosing every day to love people around you and especially your spouse. That's really important in your children, although I do think children, it's a good thing they're cute a lot of the time. Anyway.
I have heard that saying around our household. The dog, too. If that thing wasn't cute, it would be gone. I'm sorry.
I said it's true.
Amen.
Oh, well, I was thinking you might say that.
Oh, okay. One of the things I felt like God showed me as we were thinking everything over and discussing all this was from a faith standpoint and just in general, the world looks at things from the standpoint, is the cup half full or is the cup half empty? But I felt like what God was showing me is it's overflowing. You're going to see it in just a minute. Amen. All right. My last thought, I wanted to share was something that I've just noticed recently. And that is a theme that just goes throughout the Bible. It's mentioned 43 different times in different ways from Genesis to Revelation. And it's something that God says, or the way he phrases it is, well, there's a couple ways, but it's basically, they will be my people and I will be their God. And it gets back to that choice. We've got to choose to be his people. He has done everything possible in creation to be our God. But it's up to us. Like he told Joshua, you know, choose this day who you are going to serve.
Amen.
You know, I'm putting before you life and death. Everything on God's side of the table is life is getting better forever. And on the other side is you're moving closer and closer to death. So we want to choose life. We want to be God's people, and we want to let Him be our God. We got to get out of the way and not try to be our own God. We got to let Him be God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, that's everything we know. So, you know, and I was thinking, one of the things about thankfulness is you, after having us up here, you are going to be so thankful when Pastor Andy gets back. But the other thing is, if we had to preach next week, we've already told you everything we know.
I'm sure we could come.
I think it would be a very difficult thing to be coming up with something new each week.
It definitely made us very, very thankful for Pastor Andy, because I'm telling you, he spends every Saturday away from his family in a quiet place seeking out God for us. I mean, isn't that awesome? It's a huge job, and this has been really good for us to do this, to really make us very thankful for him. You know, God wants you whole. He wants you whole. He wants you healed. From the top of your head to the soles of your feet, that's his plan for us. Amen? And so, you know, that's our desire, is that we encourage you to be looking and understanding what God says about every area of our lives. He wants to bless you financially, spiritually, physically, emotionally, and in every way. He had paid for all that on the cross. So if you're lacking any of that, it's not his fault. And you know, the beautiful thing is,
We all are lacking in those areas.
Yeah, we are.
None of us are getting what God wants for us.
So the truth is, you start seeking him, and you're going to see those areas change in every way. If you continue to say, God, I know you've got better than this for me, and I can hardly wait to see it. I'm trusting you. I trust you with my future in every area. So, you know, I mean, speaking it out, saying what you want, not what you have, believing God's word over what you hear or see. I mean, that is key to living the blessed life. Amen?
Amen. You know, as we're talking about this and thinking about it, if there is anybody that wants to have us pray for them or someone else, I just think we ought to open up to that right now.